I've got the showbiz music on. I need it after the chat I've just been having with Sylvia. Talking about death. What a lovely start to the show. Now, I'm joined in the studio by Sylvia Kent, who is a freelance columnist, author, and her works have appeared in a national and regional magazines and online journals in over 70 titles. And she's got her 13th book well underway.
12th. Unlucky for some.
She's also the archivist and vice president of the Society of Women Writers and Journalists. And her blog is currently standing at
328,000.
Not many people have looked at the blog, obviously. Joining Sylvia is our book club guest today. It's writer, journalist, PR and communications expert Laura Birkin, who is also a member of the Society of Women Writers and Journalists, the Historical Novel Society and Brentwood Writer Circle. So very good morning to both of you.
Good morning. Good morning. And I've got my jumpsuit again after 34 years. I saved it.
What colour is it?
Blue.
I can't wear. I've got no waist for jumps. I love that. I can imagine they are very good, except when you want to go to the loo in a rush.
Difficult.
Yeah. Is it stretchy or is it sort of?
In those days, we didn't have that, so no. I had to make it out. Well, I make clothes, but I made it out of just a strong.
Oh, you made it.
Yes.
Oh wow. Oh. Can you still do dressmaking?
Of course I can.
Excellent. Do you know what? I've got one top that I've worn to death. Yeah. I could give it to you and you could make me a couple of tops.
Yeah, I could do. If I get time.
Oh, yeah, so you are very, very busy and dressmaking as well. Right, let's start off with yourself, Sylvia. You've got obviously Billericay Readers Group.
Yes.
And Brentwood Writer Circle. So what have you lot been up to?
Going very well. We can't take any more. We have 20 who meet regularly once a month.
What are we going to do, kill somebody off before there's a space available? What happens?
Naughty.
Is there a wait list of people?
There is now, yeah. And 20 of us meet, and we're very lucky, and the books are ordered for us, and it's a selection of stuff. Funny, you know, classic. A lot of our readers were teaching many years ago, and they just love being with us and talking, and it's their chance again to give their thoughts and reviews, really. Mm. And we're all so different. We have a few arguments sometimes. But, yeah, so it's lovely. A nice bunch of ladies, been going 19 years. Currently, I'm reading Under a Pole Star by Steph Penny, an American writer. It's very thick. So as I'm involved at the moment in writing quite a lot myself, I'm having to put that on the back burner. We're reading Kate Moss's Burning Chambers because we're meeting her next week. That's Kate Moss, not the model.
Yep.
Laura is coming as well for the lunch and hopefully get a book. The Brentwood writers, all beavering away. Again, huge difference in their writing output. As you know, we meet at the Bardswell Social Club. We do love new people coming. They bring something with them. It's interesting. Different thoughts and ways of looking at things and writing.
So if somebody wanted to come along, just say they've written a little bit at home and they wanted to come along and find out what other writers think, they just turn up on the...
They get a lovely welcome, particularly from our president, Francis.
Yes.
Francis Clamp. We'll be celebrating our 80th.
Well, you're looking very well in that jumpsuit.
I'll put it on next time. One in particular is Patrick Forsyth. He's now our chairman. He wrote a book, a lovely book, which I have here, A Great Little Gallimaufry. Now, I had to look that up.
Well, I don't know. What is a gallimaufry?
It means a collection. You could say miscellany. You could say, well, Laura's here. We could find 10 words. An assortment, if you like. Yeah. But we all put in our pennyworth, raising funds for Farley Hospice. And 20 people contributed. Stories, articles, and the book is still on sale from Patrick for £10. All the money goes to Farley, which, as you know, provides care for people with life-limiting illnesses. And my third mention is the Society of Women Writers and Journalists, and we're celebrating our 125th.
Wow.
Again, I wasn't there at the beginning.
No.
But Joyce Grenfell was around, you know, and lots of other people. And Kate Moss, again, will be signing books at the Stationers Hall in London, which is a wonderful place built in 1604. So that's
How many people are going?
At the moment, I think we've got 90 going. Mm-hmm. So it's a big hall and it's beautiful. And I'm sure that Brentwood listeners will have been there at some point. So, lots of reading, lots of writing going on. Actually, although writing, I mentioned that, it's pleasurable, but my goodness, it's hard work, especially when you're working on your next book and you know you need people to come back with the information, particularly as I write history and I want confirmation of the facts, you know, get the facts, ma'am. And it's fun.
It's fun, but if you are waiting, if Sylvia's waiting to hear back from you, that is a word from Sylvia on the radio, get back to her ASAP. Otherwise, you won't be included in the book.
Well, I had...
Go somewhere else.
It's a book about buildings, and I started and found 300 at least. There are 500 in the area that are listed. Not perhaps grade one, but certainly they're listed.
Month's Book Club, April already. We've had over... Did you say it's over 60 shows? 60, how many?
No, 60 or 7 years we've been going.
Really?
And I've got everyone listed.
Wow.
Right from the beginning, when we first came on.
Yeah. Now we're joined by our guest, Laura Birkin, and she is a writer, journalist, a PR and communications specialist. She's also a member of the Society of Women Writers and Journalists and the Historical Novel Society and Brentwood Writer Circle. So thanks very much.
Oh, thanks for having me.
You've got an amazing CV. You started out working in writing for a local paper. So how did that... is that something you always wanted to do?
Yeah, always wanted to do. When I left school, I had another job, but I then the journalism ambition was still there. And I used to just write things for free, send them into local paper, and then thought, right, I want to do this now for, you know, properly. So left my job, went back to college, done all the journalism exams and stuff, and then started work on it. And it was always newspapers. I had a... Even from a young girl at school... writing and stuff, my, you know, the ambitions was there's many, you know, platforms, TV, radio, everything, but it was newspapers that was my kind of thing that I always wanted to get to. So after the exams, worked for free, because back in I'm talking about sort of 20 odd years ago now, and the thing with journalism, which hasn't changed too much, I think Sylvia might agree, that it's about what you go and do for free and get your name out there, write stories, get a byline, and it goes from there, rather than just go straight in and think that you can just, you know, sort of get a reporter's role. So I'd done a lot of that, and then got my first sort of job as a junior reporter on what was then the West Essex Gazette, which was based in Epping Forest. And they had quite a few different titles, but loved it, absolutely. And that was it then, you know, that was, you know, the sort of start of it all. You know, and you have to be confident in terms of you've got to go and get, you know, and get the stories and stuff. I mean, the internet has come into force now, but as I said, going back again, we didn't have as much internet back then as you do now. So you really did have to go and do your research on the ground. You know, you had to go into that local shop or that local place to get your story and to get the, you know, the stories on the ground, which is why I become a journalist, really, because I loved doing all of that. And you have to have a certain amount of, I suppose, confidence in terms of you've got to put yourself forward, you've got to go to a press conference, for instance, and ask that question that will get you the story that no one else gets. And best way of getting onto newspapers is to be a freelancer. So I was able to do that at the time, and got some shifts on a few Sunday papers. They give you shifts a weekend. You get a few bylines, and it goes from there. You go on to another newspaper, they'll give you a few shifts. And then I got a contract on the Evening Standard. So I was there for nearly 2 years. I left the local paper then and went on to do that. Absolutely loved it, because I'd done absolutely everything. You was on a news desk, you'd done different shifts. So sometimes you was working through the evening and through the night. Sometimes you done the early morning shift, and, you know, you could be called up at any time. And you just done a complete, you know, range of things, from news to entertainment to everything, really. So it was really good. Freelance for a few years, and then back on the local newspaper, they had I was a big West Ham fan, so I went to matches and stuff like that. So always liked sport, got to know quite a few sports reporters on the Standard and things like that. So it just sort of went from there. And then the local paper that I worked for before were looking for a sports reporter, so I went back to them, and but on the sports desk rather than the news desk, which was, you know, a little bit different. And then through there, got a job at a football club. After I was sports reporter for a couple of years, about 2 or 3 years, and then went out again to do the PR side. So that's where that come through. But yeah, sports was great as well. I mean, I'd done local sports, so the newspaper covered all the local teams and local cricket and stuff. It wasn't just the sort of, you know, the national sports and stuff that you see in the national newspapers. And I think for a local newspaper as well, you had to get those local stories on people, you know, the residents throughout the area want to see what's going on, you know. So that was good, yeah. So I enjoyed sport as well.
With your job as working at the Nationals, because you must have interviewed some amazing people over the years. So tell us some of the people you've interviewed and some of your favourite interviews.
Wow. So I think if I just quickly go back to my first ever celebrity interview, if you want to call, which was Christopher Biggins, who's and as a junior reporter. Yeah, there was a few nerves because you're doing a big interview for the first time. But he was lovely. He was absolutely lovely. So I'd, you know, what you see of him, that's what
you
he
get.
Is.
Yeah. Yes.
And then so Steve Redgrave and Matthew Pinson, I was lucky enough to speak to on locals, and then on the Nationals, I suppose my most favourite and one of the best was Tom Hanks, the actor Tom Hanks.
Oh, wow.
I would have enjoyed that as well.
He was really down to earth. You know, it was at a film premiere that the Evening Standard sent me to, and he was lovely. Come over, answer questions. You know, there was no.
Is this the ones we see on television where you've got your microphone, you've got the
behind a barrier. They put you behind a barrier on the red carpet, and you're trying to get their attention, which is quite good.
Oh, lovely, Laura.
Do you have to sort of jostle to get, or do they actually have planned people they come and see, or do you?
No, sometimes I think some events they do plan it, and they you know, because these people have got their PR. Mm. Sort of people with them, haven't they? But sometimes it's just all for a free for all, really.
I couldn't do that. Yeah. I watch people who do it. Sylvia would be over there, straight over the barrier.
Oh, I
but
would.
But I think that's a really hard job to grab hold of, because sometimes they're not always in the best mood. No. They've done loads of interviews. They get a little bit, you know.
They get a bit tetchy.
I'm going to call her Miss Scoop.
Very good. Yes. Well, that was it. It was all about, because you were sent down to something, either an event or to try and.
Yes.
And it was like, you know, you've got to come back with a story, basically. That was the whole thing, wherever they sent you. So you had to come back with something. Yes. And if it was, we used to do the journalism where you had to wait around for people to come from out from somewhere or something like that to see if you can get a quote for a story or things like that. And sometimes you'd be there all day and you'd phone the office and say, no, there's no sign of them, but you've got to stay there until you get something. You know,
it's like the high, you must get such a high when you go, I've got Tom Hanks, I've got the story. Yeah. And then you get all this high, and then after about 25, you've got to do it all over again. It's a bit like a gambler, really, isn't it? Like having a bit of an addiction because you get that, you must get such a.
Then you've got to write the story.
You've got to write the story. Yeah.
And what about your photography? Did you take cameras, or did you?
Yeah, I mean, when I as a junior reporter, there was days where they sort of classed you as a photojournalist, so you did a little bit of photographic training. I mean, I'm not a professional photographer by any means, but I can take a photo of decent kind of thing. But yeah, and I think especially now, even in the communication side, when we go out to anything, we are taking stuff for social media as we're doing other things.
Yep.
It's part of your job now. You've got to do it. You've got to take a photo. You've got to put something out on social media. You've got to, you know, because people want something instantly now.
Okay, so tell us about what, because we've got a couple of minutes left, and I want to make sure we get into talking about your book. Tell us about what you're doing now, because you're involved in PR.
Yes, so I work for a local authority doing PR communications, dealing with the media. So it's another kind of platform from, you know, sort of being a journalist, really. So I think it you know, having been on the other side as well, when we get media inquiries, I kind of know where they're coming from. So hopefully that helps me and, you know, obviously my colleagues and stuff like that. But it's writing still. So you know, as long as I'm writing, I'm happy, and leading campaigns for the local authority and sort of pushing that, promoting that out there on all the platforms. So no, it's really interesting.
Which I won't look at Sylvia because she's taking pictures of us both. Don't look her in the eye. Don't look at her. Not from that angle, Sylvia.
I've got a good one.
Sylvia, I'll make sure that
good side.
Naughty.
The good side is from very far away, Laura, from my head. I don't like it. Now, you have got into doing fiction, because obviously everything you've been doing is not fiction. Tell us a little bit of an outline of the book, and also your experience of joining the Brentwood Writers Circle.
Yeah, so I've always written stories. As I said, I was the girl that loved English. I could have done English every day at school. Don't worry about maths, I could have done English. But so I was always writing stories. So even when I was as a journalist and the PR work I do, I've always been writing fiction. But it came to a point where, you know, the ambition I've got left in terms of my writing is to be a published author of fiction. So it was a thing of, right, you know, looking around, people said, oh, you know, there's the Brentwood Writers Group and stuff like that. So I came to one of the Writers' Day
Did you?
That's how it started.
The first time?
Yeah,
right.
And then met a few people there that day who were very friendly, very well, as Sylvia said, very welcoming. You know, new member, new writer, you know, absolutely fine. And it's gone from there now, and I've been there, a member for a few years. So,
and you're now on the committee.
I'm on the committee now because I really want to sort of take what I'm doing forward, but also as a group. I think, you know, I mean, as Sylvia said, it's been running for like 80 years, so it's just got a wealth of different people and different writing, and it's just, I mean, anyone who's looking, as you said earlier, you know, to sort of, you know, I don't think my writing's, I don't know what it is, I don't know what they'll think, don't worry about that, it will be such a help belonging to the group.
And then that's so at the Bardswell Social Club. So you're out, can you give an outline for the book that you're writing at the moment?
It's historical fiction. I read all genres, and it, you know, I think it's really good to read a lot of varied stuff because it helps you as a writer as well. But I'm writing historical fiction, and it's sort of like a flashback to sort of years gone by. Something, there's an incident that's happened. So in my book, my character is, she's inherited an old manor house in the country from her great aunt. Nobody knew it existed. Nobody in the family knew, you know. And so she's took it on. She's a city girl, so I don't know if she's going to move to the country. But she goes down there, finds out the history of it, which is quite dark. Some things have happened there. Mm. The local villagers are not quite keen on it because a lot of bad things have happened there. And as she sort of goes through the journey of sort of, you know, she starts to be a bit protective of the house and she wants to stay down there, and she ends up, you know, at the sort of finding out about her great aunt's involved in this sort of some of these dark secrets, and then she wants to restore the manor to the sort of heart of the community again, which it once was. So it's that kind of thing. So it's a work in progress at the moment.
So when do you reckon it might be finished? Is it, are you looking at next year or possibly?
Well, hopefully finishing it this year.
Yeah.
And then seeing. Yeah,
you have to come back in and tell. I like the sound already.
Also,
my type of book.
It is mine as well.
Yeah,
so and I buy a proper book as well, not download on Kindle.
That's my life. I agree. There's nothing like having a book in
hand. Fresh book, especially if I go on holiday and it's like I can't pack that in your case. No, I can put a couple of books in. I've actually just bought a hardback book as well.
Really?
I know. Look at me. Cost me a lot of money, but
I was going to say,
I've not started it yet. I've got a book for the bath. This one is not going into the bathroom with me. No. It has to stay, you know, so it's pristine.
They suffer your books.
They do, because I normally I'm reading and I normally drop them in the bath because I've got a bath book, which then I can relax and I can read. I can't remember I'm reading at the moment, but it's like mystery kind of. I love my thrillers.
Yeah, I like thrillers as well. Yeah,
I like that. You're right over there, Sylvia.
Yeah.
Sylvia's going to make us both a jumpsuit now, Laura. That's
I'm just weighing up your size.
I think you need a lot. I think you need a lot of material for my size. So thank you very much for both coming in today.
Thank you
for having us.
Always a pleasure. I'm so jealous of the Tom Hanks. You can tell he's nice.
I am too. Mm. I've done Joan Collins, but
well, don't put that about
three times.
We didn't get. I didn't get to interview. I know in Brentwood there was the Brentwood mayor got a phone call. I'm sorry to go on about this again, but Tom Cruise was filming here. Wasn't even Mission Impossible, and the Brentwood mayor got a phone call from Tom Cruise.
Oh really?
Saying, I'm really apologised for causing any problems in Brentwood with traffic. Yeah. I bought biscuits. That's he never came in to see me.
A nice little chap, isn't he?
I think I think I would have been okay. I think Tom Cruise is meant to be very, very friendly and, you know, they're still humans,
he's only a person, isn't he?
I was going to say, he's only 4'11". He won't come in now, Sylvia. You've ruined it. So if you want to find out more about Sylvia, she's got an excellent website, which is your blog.
Well, it's a blog. It's 14 years old now. Yeah, a bit old, but it is viewed. Quite a lot of Americans for some reason read it, but we are doing America soon, which you will read about in time tonight's meeting. So we're talking about our 400 years of Billericay and Massachusetts.
Didn't know that was located here, but never mind. If you look up Sylvia Kent, she does come to the top of the list. And have you got any contacts for yourself, Laura?
I'm about to start a blog and stuff, so I'm just getting myself on social media more. Obviously on Twitter and Facebook and everything. So
I shall link
my writing on there.
And you'll be on mine tonight anyway.
Excellent. Well, there we go. Very nice to meet you both. And if you missed the beginning bit of the interview, it will be up online a little bit later this evening with photographs that Sylvia's taken.
I'm going to take in a minute.
Yeah, don't take any more. Just coming up to the news. I'll be back with more right after this.
Lovely. Thank you.